Hello and welcome back to Stadia Source, your number one source for Stadia news and reviews. My name is Avery and this is the Stadia Source Roundtable Podcast. We got a great show tonight, so let's get to it. With me as always, we've got Dan the Man.
How's it going?
We had Scarlett, presumably she'll be right back. And we've got Anthony, now your mama knows.
Because I'm a cowboy. All right.
Welcome to 2021, everybody. And we've got Scarlett as well.
Good stuff.
Who's muted?
Nope. You remuted yourself. We're off to a fantastic start for the year, you guys. Nope. Still got it. Nope. Still got nothing.
Hello.
Hello. There she is.
There we go.
2021. Hello, you thunder of hippos.
I mean, I put a bit of timber on over Christmas, but
What are you trying to say about us all, Scarlett? Scarlett, aka Carly Kjellstrom, are recently promoted brand manager for Stadia Source. Congratulations, Carly! So glad to have you in that position. So welcome to the new year, everybody. You may know our guest tonight from his recent interview with superhero John Justice or his digital magazine that gives you an escape from reality. It's the editor-in-chief of the Escapist magazine, Nick Calandra.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us, Nick. We're so excited to have you on the show tonight. But before we get started, did you know you can get the Roundtable as an actual podcast? Search for Stadia Source on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts. And newly added to the same feed as the Roundtable, a near daily readout of the day's headline called the News Feed. So be sure you subscribe today. Also, if you're watching us live, we want you to be a part of the chat. Say hi in the chat. And if you want to be sure that we bring up your message during the show, hit that super chat or super sticker feature to show your support for Stadia Source. Last but not least, you can join Stadia Source right here on YouTube. Members get amazing perks from exclusive community play live streams to early access videos, including a brand new series coming very soon from our own original Penguin and even Stadia Source merch. So hit the join button down below to learn more and become a member. Before we get started with the show today, we want to make sure that we give our guest an opportunity to introduce himself to our audience. So, Nick, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your history with gaming, particularly how you found out about Stadia, and tell us a little bit about The Escapist as well.
Sure. Well, I mean, I've been gaming since I was a pretty young boy. Dad introduced me to a computer when I was like probably 4 years old. I think I started off with a game called Carnivores, which was a little bit of a scary experience hunting that Allosaurus down. I don't know if you've ever played that game. Yeah. But it can be pretty harrowing as a young child. just kind of grew up gaming. By the time I was in junior high or whatever, parents kind of like told me, hey, you gotta find something else to do other than play video games. And I'm like, all right, well, fine. You know, that was after they made me sell my consoles and everything. So I ended up having my father purchase me a domain name, and that's kind of how I got started in games journalism. Just kind of went from there, went to college for multimedia journalism, ran a Kickstarter in 2016. I don't remember which year it was, so long ago now. We did a Kickstarter for documentaries and ended up going traveling around the world filming documentaries at a bunch of different studios. And then, yeah, I became the editor-in-chief not long after that for The Escapist.
Very, very cool. The Escapist with the game shows this summer and lots of cool insight and stuff. Tell us about your history with Stadia and how you kind of got turned onto the world of cloud gaming.
Sure. You know, when we cover game stuff, I've never been one that's like super cynical about like new tech. And I think a lot of the kind of the mainstream press can be very hard on like VR and cloud and, you know, and all that kind of new stuff. And that stuff always interests me. I always give it a shot. So my actual first interaction with like cloud gaming was OnLive back when that came out. And we were like one of the only sites back then that covered it before I was on The Escapist. I had my own sites. And so I was introduced to the technology way back when. And then THQ kind of went down and OnLive kind of went down with it. And then I kind of tried PS Now and, you know, that was pretty shitty for a while. So Stadia came along and, you know, I wasn't that interested in it because, you know, for my job at least, I don't, you know, cloud gaming isn't like the primary way I'm going to review anything or cover anything. But they kind of reached out to us a few times with codes and all that. So I finally input one, probably 6 months ago, and it was for PGA 2K21, and it worked fine. And I was like, wow, this is actually pretty cool, because the main thing I was concerned about was the latency, because every time I tried cloud gaming, the latency was just the main thing that kept me away from trying it. So I ended up playing hours of PGA 2K21 on a direct connection through my computer. And then I took it in my bedroom and was playing on my MacBook. And I was like, this is cool. Like I get it now. I get it. So then, yeah, we talked about it on The Escapist show. And I was waiting for our entire community to just roast me over the coals for it, for even mentioning Stadia, because that's kind of what happens. And I think our first video that we did there kind of got shared with the Stadia community on Reddit. And I think people responded pretty positively to that we actually took the time to, you know, accurately talk about it and say like, hey, you know, it actually is free to use. Like everybody else is saying you got to pay for it and all that stuff.
You can see how there's a lot of misinformation that got spread around Stadia though. Obviously in terms of like things like input latency and the cost to join up. So It's nice to kind of see people obviously seeing that misinformation isn't actually true.
Yeah. That's, that's kind of the whole thing with new technology. You just got to try it for yourself. Social media and everything kind of just likes to drag everything a little bit too much. And once people actually try it, it's like, oh wow, this is great. And then that's Jack. I record The Escapist show with Jack, and you know, he's a VR skeptic, and he tried it and he's like, oh, this is actually cool. And I got him to try Stadia. Now he's likes it more than I do. So
I always said that's exactly how you get people to like Stadia, is to just get them to try Stadia. And if they just do that, then that solves the whole problem. Very cool. Well, we're glad to have you tonight. Quick thank you to Josh Waring in the chat for the super chat. Greatest Stadia show in the world. You know, I happen to agree with that, and I think you have very good taste in that. And thanks to Tony Stark Jr., which I'm pretty sure is the guy in the cowboy hat, for introducing him to cloud gaming. Just ordered his controller. So good to see that. And Raishrod, the gaming cyborg, saying congrats to Scarlet and hello to Stadia Source and boo cowboy. that's cyborgs versus cowboys.
They need to make that into a game.
What was the cowboys versus aliens? So aliens, I guess that's as close as we're gonna get, perhaps.
Yeah. But do I see a rumor in there that John Justice is my father? Is that what I'm reading?
Yes. Can you tell us anything about this unsubstantiated rumor that just because they're both kind of beardy doesn't mean, like, do you have like a random Korg or Moog synthesizer in your background? Because that seems to be what is behind John every time he does an interview. Nope. And I want to know what that is, because I play.
I have a shelf behind me with an empty Air Febreze bottle on it. If that counts as a synthesizer, sure.
That's synthetic. We could probably make that work, but we won't bother with it. Well, thanks for being on the show today, Nick. We really appreciate it. We want to start off, as we usually do, with the opportunity for everybody to kind of give us a little bit about what you're playing. And since this is our first episode since the new year has kicked off and we took a couple of weeks off. By the way, did everybody enjoy the Holly Jolly Christmas Time Cavalcade, aka shoddily produced clip show? I hope you did, because I know I did, because I'm the one that made it.
I watched it.
I thought it was wonderful, but I also happened to make it. So you'd think that I would think it's wonderful. So we'll give everybody an opportunity to kind of catch us up on what took over your game time during the holiday season. I know I played quite a bit. And so we'll start, as we 50% of the time do, with our guest. Nick, what have you been playing in the past couple weeks, Stadia or otherwise?
Yeah, can I honestly say I haven't played much on Stadia. Just haven't had anything new to try on there. Every once in a while, I'll get on and play that PGA 2K21 game. They've been sending me the newer codes to try, so I've been kind of, I was testing out swapping between Valhalla on there, and then of course Cyberpunk. I tried on there to see how that ran, and was pretty impressed considering how it ran on consoles. I haven't really stuck with it too much. I was more on my PS5 playing Demon's Souls and Sackboy, and kind of getting caught up with my backlog. I've been running like a little backlog challenge for myself on my Twitter feed all year, keeping track of all the games I've gone through. And now that I've finished everything, I have nothing to play.
Well, there you go. Now you just can loop back through the hit the B-sides on Celeste, or do, you know, something. Options about Scarlett, what's been on your playlist, Stadia or otherwise?
Well, apparently I'm a disappointment because I have not touched Outcasters yet.
Say that on a Stadia podcast. You can't say that.
Well, when I do have time, of course I'm all over Gods and Monsters. You can't give me time to play a game and then not expect me to be playing that. It's really just been Phoenix. I've been really busy with like so many other things, though, that finding time to game right now is nearly impossible because I'm coming up on production time, so I can't do anything else. But no, it's been good. I love games.
I do like that you ignored the bad title for Gods and Monsters and just chose Gods and Monsters instead.
Yes. I mean, I'll still say Phoenix because, you know, that's still cool. But I'm just right. Like, I prefer Gods and Monsters. It was nice.
I'm edgy. I call it Orpheus still.
I know we still have some people also calling it AC Phoenix, so you know, Assassin's Creed.
I suppose that's it's not terribly far off. Anthony, what's been on your playlist?
Man, I have been playing everything. I've been playing Wildlands recently, now that the Ubisoft Plus is out, and that's just like the militarized Grand Theft Auto, I like to call it. So that's been cool. I've been playing. I just played some Pac-Man on my lunch break. I don't know if you guys know. I did make a video. I accidentally made a video on Stadia Source. But guys, you can stream the YouTube direct from your mobile phone. So I've been doing lunch break streams in my car on my lunch break. So I played some Pac-Man. I've been playing everything, man. It's crazy. I've been like playing the most amount of games. The cloud gaming is awesome because I could jump in and out of a game and I got a massive library of games and I don't have to worry about deleting something and installing something. So what have we been playing? Everything. I just been like playing Power Rangers. I've been playing a lot of Avengers. I've been playing with a lot of new people that have never played before. So I've been just dabbling to like everything. It's too many games to name, but I've been played some Doom again the other day. I've been playing it all.
Little stacks on stacks on stacks action.
Okay, I didn't play that.
Okay. Anthony.
But almost everything. Almost everything. Come on. It's the classic. It's the classic. Dan, what's been on your playlist?
I actually jumped back into some Destiny 2. I was actually in isolation for most of the holidays because I was near someone with coronavirus. So I was told I had to isolate for 10 days. Luckily, I'm still here and still fit and healthy and alive. But it gave me obviously a lot of chance to pour into Destiny, which is a game that does require a lot of grinding and a lot of time to basically get anything in the game at all. So, yeah, that's pretty much really all I've been playing. I played a little bit of The Crew 2 with the partner. So other than that, nothing else really.
Very fun. Well, I finally, right before the holiday, right before we left, I finally, and Dan's just gone. No more from Dan. I finally got around to finishing the last of the Tomb Raider set. Eli in the chat talking about playing Tomb Raider on the last one. Good to hear you fall in love with the trilogy. I finished Shadow, got that off my playlist, and then jumped into Valhalla. And I have been doing nothing but Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I played that every single day from the couch from my mother-in-law's house during the entirety of the Christmas break. And I know I haven't even scratched the surface of that game despite playing, because I'm the guy that I have to go to every single little glowy thing on the map and find out what it is. I can't just go through the story. So so that's me. So Assassin's Creed games are really tricky in that regard. I'm sure Immortals is going to be the same thing when I eventually get to that. But yeah, Valhalla is currently the top of my list for playlist at the moment. And then as soon as that is done, I've got Jedi, Watch Dogs. I didn't even buy Cyberpunk. Like, I'm just going to wait on that one. but yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of my backlog is pretty big too, and I just never go through the whole thing. So, anywho, well, guys, let's get in and talk about the week's news. And boy, what a busy week for news it's been. I say, dripping with sarcasm, because there's literally been all of six stories. but there have been some bits of news that have come out this week. Obviously, we did get our January Pro game on the 1st. Included in that, over the course of the holidays, was a random bonus Cthulhu. So Cthulhu Saves Christmas. If you haven't saved Christmas yet, you had the opportunity to. Has anybody given any of the January Pro games a try yet? I know some folks have probably already played F1 2020, but has anybody given any of these a try?
I'm looking forward to trying Ari. I think it's going to be cute. But no, I haven't really had a chance yet.
Yeah, Ari is going to be the one that I tried first. I've not actually tried any of them. Like I said, I've been invested in Destiny 2, but when I get some spare time, I'm going to jump into that and have a look at Ari. It does look quite interesting. F1, I'm not really much of a racing fan, but I do. I've seen, like, obviously the racing community that Stadia is starting to build. And I know that our Dom, for example, has streamed it and played quite a lot of that recently. So I don't know if anybody's seen it, but that game seems to be suffering from, like, quite bad artifacting when it's raining and stuff like that. So just terribly pixelated on the screen. So it was one of those things that if I was going to jump into that, I'd probably wait until they fixed that, because that's quite jarring to see.
Well, yeah, and I realized as I was saying this, because I was pulling up the list, because this is how much I remember the games that were released 6 days ago on Stadia Pro. So pulling up the list, and I realized it's not Cthulhu. Cthulhu was the random bonus game we got over December. It was Bonus El Hijo. Yes. Bonus El Hijo. Isn't that right, Anthony? El Hijo.
Yeah. I actually played. Here's what's cool, guys. Everybody watching, you can check it out. I did a first look on Stadia Source as part of the Stadia Holiday Bash. And so you guys can check it out. I played a little bit of each game for about 5, 10, 15 minutes. And I think Figment is, I like Figment the most. One thing that's cool about that game is it's fully narrated, right? So every enemy or character on the screen, they did voice acting. I think that's always a plus for me. We don't have to read everything, and they took the time to act it out. And it's got puzzles, you got weapons. So it's pretty cool. Out of all the new games, I think Figment was my favorite. But yeah, I got a chance to play every one of them. And I played F1 when it was the pro game, the free pro game, like 2 weeks ago. And I'm not really good with the realistic racing games. I like more like where I could turn a corner at 8,000 miles an hour and not crash.
in real life.
Yeah. But I heard you could tweak it, though. I heard you could tweak F1, and they got a mode where you could tweak it a little bit. So I have to try that. But I think what's cool is if people are into action adventure games, almost all of them was more like, you know, you had weapons, you could shoot, and you could hide and sneak. So I think these free games is pretty cool if you give it a chance.
Yeah, so several folks in the chat, like Ray, the gaming cyborg, indicating that Ari was fantastic. Zero Game saying really liked Figment. I haven't had an opportunity to get in and play him. I hit play on Figment with the full intent to actually play. And then like 2 seconds after I hit start, I said, I'm just going to go back to Valhalla. So I didn't even start the game. I literally just bounced immediately from it. Eli indicating he's a big fan of the finished game. So of course you gotta rep the local games around. Have any of these crossed your path, Nick? Hotline Miami, El Hijo, Figment, RE, or F1 2020?
Those games are all came out quite a while ago. And with the Escapists, we kind of keep up to date with everything. So nothing on there that I was super interested in checking out. Is RE new?
RE game Secret of Seasons.
Oh yeah, okay, I know what that is. Yep. I haven't checked it out though.
Yeah, I think it went, isn't it like the sequel to something or another? I just clicked the game. That was very dumb of me. I clicked it on Stadia on the Stadia blog, which means it's going to launch the game, and I don't want it to do that. Stop. Click to play. I don't want you click to play in the one case that I don't want you.
See that, folks? That's how easy it is to start your game.
Yes, even you when you don't want to. okay, maybe I'm totally wrong. I could have sworn that was the sequel to something.
No, I think it's a new IP.
Both games. All right, anyways.
Yeah, the one that I did want to check out, I just haven't had time yet, is the new Submerged game, because that one is a sequel to a game that was already out. Right. And it was like a surprise sequel, and then it came out on Stadia, and then the developers didn't even like post it on their Twitter that it was out for like another day. It's like, wait, is it new? Is it not? I don't know anymore.
Do you want people to know that you did a thing? Is that
right?
Fine if you don't care, but still. I'm gonna definitely give these a try. I have to give these a try, if only for El Hijo, so that I can be the one person on the team that pronounces it correctly and actually plays it and does it while the game is actually playing. So, but RE looked interesting. The problem with literally all of these were, with the exception of F1 2020, Hotline Miami is like $20. It was going to be a Stadia Pro game. Figment was $20. It's going to be a Stadia Pro game. They were all just destined to be Stadia Pro games, so there was no point in actually purchasing any of them. So, but hey, that's the beauty of Stadia Pro. If you didn't play it, it's new to you, right?
That's right.
Big thank you. I don't know where my mouse keep. There we go. Big thank you to Stadia Vet Gaming with the $30 super chat, saying that he loves the content. Well, Stadia Vet, we love you too. Stadia Vet Gaming, also one of the content creators in the community. So search Stadia Vet Gaming on YouTube and hit the subscribe button. Don't do it right now because you're watching us and it'll take you out of us. But do it after the show.
Let me give him a little shout out. He told me that if you want to play something on Stadia that feels like Grand Theft Auto, play Watch Dogs 2. So tonight, after the Roundtable Podcast, when I do the Power Up Plus, I will be playing the Watch Dogs 2 because of his recommendation. So guys, you got to check that out. I'm going to jump in and try to do all the crazy things you can't do in real life without getting arrested.
There you go. Fantastic. And also new member, the Nerf Report, Bryant, behind the Nerf Report was already a member, but now he's joined us as the Nerf Report itself as well. Another awesome YouTube channel that you got to go check out. So welcome to Gold on the Nerf Report. Are you listening? We are. You got to go watch his channel and you'll understand why that actually means a thing. So we appreciate that. A couple of other bits of news that we've gotten here recently. The game from Square Enix, Outriders, has been delayed till April 1st. Generally, and then it might be then but later for Stadia. So they previously said that the game was always going to come later to Stadia. Granted, we heard that with Cyberpunk 2. And then just on their Twitter page just this week, they mentioned, hey, we're going to keep working on it. It's going to be later, but we are going to be doing a demo in February. So we have a demo coming. We don't know if we're going to get it on Stadia. The game has been delayed till April for everybody else. We don't know if we're getting it on Stadia then, but we do know we're getting it eventually. Is anybody surprised to hear that another title's getting bumped back by COVID?
No, I've previewed this game twice now. It was rough on the first go. I liked it a lot more on the second go, but it definitely still needed quite a bit of work. And that was before, the second preview was during COVID. The first one was the last, actually, that game was the last game I previewed before COVID hit. So that was the last time I traveled. It was like 2 weeks before that hit.
Can you say if it's similar to something that you played before, or does it have a new feel?
It's tricky. Like, to watch it, they're, it's weird. I can't really pin it down very well.
It's not a games as a service game. It's a lot like, it plays very similarly to Gears of War, actually, the shooting mechanics, and you know, People Can Fly have worked on Gears of War Judgment in the past. So it's almost like Gears of War meets Destiny, basically, without all the extra elements that Destiny has. But I would say it's very, very close to that.
It's a little bit of magic, but also a lot of guns, and like, that's, Square Enix seemed to get into this, like, we're just going to put magic in many things that don't need it, or guns in many things that don't need it. The culmination of which was Final Fantasy 15, and thank God they're going back to not that with 16. But
I was going to say, this is actually a game that grew on me quite a bit, because I was pretty lukewarm on it in the first preview, and then they gave us a second preview, and it's got like really varied skill trees. If you really just, I think, as far as like a good co-op shooter coming out, this might be up your alley. I'm actually curious to see how it goes on Stadia, because that would be a game I would try on Stadia.
You know, particularly if they add any like the Stream Connect or any of the Stadia exclusive features. Square hasn't yet bitten for any of those features yet, but you never know, they might. Do we think this is going to be another one of those later on Stadia, but because it just keeps getting delayed, eventually whichever company is doing the port, because it's probably not Stadia, kind of catches up and they release it together?
Yeah,
I'm going to go and say no for this one. I think with Cyberpunk, we got lucky. I don't think that every single time a game gets delayed that was going to be further delayed on Stadia, we can attribute that to the Stadia version coming at the same time. But I hope it does, because I want to try it. Yeah. Sorry?
Yeah. So I definitely don't think it would be because of Stadia that it got delayed.
I mean, that's what they said about Cyberpunk, was that it was delayed because of Stadia, but it actually wasn't.
Stadia is the best place that it runs.
It was delayed just because it needed a lot of delays, and still did, by a good 6 months. But...
The good thing is, I don't think there's a lot of hype around this game, so if Stadia did delay, you probably wouldn't get yelled at.
If Outriders is the biggest game of 2021, we probably have a problem. Not that it's not going to be a wonderful game. Square Enix, I'm sure you're working very hard on this, and we love you and appreciate you, and hey, send us a preview on Stadia. We'll totally play it, but so we'll see. Immortals Fenyx Rising, Scarlet, we got DLC coming. So we have news via the Nintendo eShop, of all places, that Immortals Fenyx Rising's first DLC, A New God, is coming out here in just a couple of weeks. We don't necessarily know a lot about what it's about, unless there's been release details that have been posted somewhere that I've just completely missed. But it's coming presumably on the 21st of January. If it comes day and date for all platforms, then we'll get it then as well. Scarlett, are you excited? Now, granted, you played nothing but Gods and Monsters for 12 hours a day for the past 28 days, but do you have room for DLC yet, or are there still pixels of the world that you haven't explored yet?
So, some of you may not know this. I am a mom, I'm a business owner, and I take care of the home. Therefore, having time to play games is not easy. But when I do play games, I play them right. I don't skip things. I do everything before I move on to the next bit. And so what's fun about the map is that slowly the map gets, you know, revealed and everything. And so this is how I played Breath of the Wild as well. I do everything in that section of cloud until I go to the next place to lift up that cloud. And then I do everything in that section. So I've literally just gotten to doing my second god being freed. So I'm on Athena. So for the places I have been, I've covered every pixel, which means it's going to be a bit before I even can get into the DLC, which is fine. But I discovered the other day that there's actually stuff missing from the gold edition, that there was stuff that was supposed to come with those who got the gold edition. So you get the season pass, which gets you all of the DLCs, but also you're supposed to get some cosmetics that nobody has received on any platform. And it's like full armor pack, full horse, like full Phoenix thing, like all of it, and nobody has it. And so like, I didn't even know it was a thing. thing, and it was suddenly all over Twitter, and I was like, hang on, I didn't know this, and now I'm a little miffed too. I guess it's true.
Till you found out that you didn't have the thing you didn't know you were going to have.
Yes, it's true, the saying that what you don't know won't hurt you. Well, now I know and I'm hurt.
And then you went on the Ubisoft support forums like,
yeah, right.
I will hurt you now that I know.
But going back, I'm excited for I love DLCs. I understand some people are like, you should have just given me the whole game to begin with. But I think this just adds more to the game because I have been given a full game. And for, I think it was like equivalent of like $40 more, I'm getting even more stuff. So, I mean, I'm all over that. I'm so excited.
And I can tell you what the DLC is, courtesy of George Yang, a name that would be very familiar to Nick because he wrote an article about this on The Escapist. a new god, players will take part in legendary trials and challenges of the Olympus gods to change the Greek pantheon, courtesy of The Escapist magazine. Apparently challenges, you're going to try to get up there into that pantheon your darn self as Phoenix. So
we'll do it.
Coming to let me I wonder ask if Phoenix is the new god.
Let me ask Scarlett a question. I asked Blue Bobs this the other day, Blue Bobs of Stadia Source guys. He's been playing the heck out of some. Every time I go to him, he's always playing Phoenix, Immortal Phoenix Rising. I said, on a 1 to 10 scale, 1 being not at all, 10 being more, do you think you like this game more than Scarlett? Adam rated. So do you think Blue Bobs' interest and love of this game has superseded yours?
I think Andrew doesn't understand the frustrations of not being able to play games because you have two beautiful children to take care of. And while he loves his wife dearly, I'm sure she would appreciate more time with him than watching him play games as well. Ooh, therefore,
that's a
my love for Gods and Monsters, as it is accurately named, cannot be surpassed by anybody. Let alone Andrew.
Awesome answer. Awesome answer.
if there were not COVID, Scarlett probably would have sent her kids away somewhere just for a while. Just to, I love you, but mommy needs you to go to Disney here. Just tell her your unattended minors. It'll be fine. I got a game to play. So, if it comes on the 21st, we'll report it. And
he said in the comments, sound like a supply and demand problem.
Andrew, we will speak.
I guess if they ever put in any kind of multiplayer, I don't think there ever is any intent to do so, but have a versus. We're gonna figure out like what, maybe when one of the DLC drops, we'll figure out how to like split screen the two of you and see who can like finish a challenge first or something.
Yeah. Andrew, let's do some Apollo races or something like that. Let's do some races and we'll see who's the better player here.
Mm.
There you go. I haven't played it, so I have no idea what that means. Also noted, Road 96 is en route to Stadia. I had to. It's a road joke. This game, there was a trailer that got quite a bit of a splash at the Game Awards. It's a road trip through dystopian government authoritarian controlled, not that we would know anything about that, but you're apparently trying to escape the dystopia in the road trip, and it's semi-procedurally generated, whereas as you travel you make decisions and then that kind of impacts the game as it goes on, and it is announced for Stadia now, so we will be getting not only is it announced for Stadia, but the team behind Road 96 announced that Stadia is partially funding the game. So it's a Stadia Makers-ish game. I don't know if it's Unity. If it is, then it's probably the Stadia Makers program. They're funding the game. Nick, has this one been on your radar at all?
I can't tell you if I remember it or not. Cover so much stuff. Sometimes it's hard to remember these little games.
I will pull up and play us the trailer here.
Oh, I was concerned that you were going to say like, the escape has covered it.
You're the byline. What's going on, Nick? We'll hit share on that. It's road trippy. It's kind of slightly cartoonish, but... Also, you know, hitchhack your way to freedom, and it's crazy. Procedurally generated road trip made by indie creators. They make it sound a lot more fun in that tiny description than like, yeah, it's supposed to be like you're in a dystopian hell here. It looks fun and interesting. I kind of like, it's kind of got like the Telltale Games indie kind of look to it. So I'll take that. Anybody have this Stability for Petria? Anybody have this on your wish list?
No.
Driving the Scooby van there?
I can see this probably either being heavily discounted or maybe even a pro game at some point if it does come to Stadia. So as soon as it comes out, I'm probably going to hold off buying it, but I am interested in trying it when it does eventually come out.
Yeah. So far, the Stadia Makers games, like Unto the End, didn't launch on Pro, but it launched at like $20. So again, we're just going to get it on Pro. They can't keep, like, F1 is the most expensive game they've ever given out on Pro at, I think, 60. It's a 60 title, isn't it? Or at least 40 to 60, something like that. So, but granted, it is also last year's edition, but they can't keep, they're going to run out of $20 titles at some point. So if they keep adding $20 titles, then we're just going to keep getting $20 titles on. But it looks fun. It looks super fun. I don't know how much I want to talk about running away from dystopian hellscape tyranny, but you know, maybe it'll be cathartic maybe it'll be an escape in some way. I can't. I'm sorry, Nick. I had every time. Speaking of gods and DLC, you'd think I would have rearranged these in the show notes so that I would have put them together, because the segue would have been a lot smarter in that instance. Gods Will Fall. Gods Will Fall has not even come out on the platform yet, but it has already had its first DLC announced. So Gods Will Fall from Deep Silver. We'll throw up a gameplay trailer here as well. Meet the gods. How fun. Oh, that's from Stadia. Okay. And then so I just heard the boom Stadia boom. I can't tell if this is just on Stadia or if Stadia happens to be the trailer that I pulled up.
It's on more consoles than just Stadia.
There you go. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've already had DLC announced that seems mostly like a quality of life patch. So they mentioned a couple of new character classes, couple of new weapon styles, couple of new gods to go kill. So it looks fun. It kind of almost gives me like PlayStation 2-y vibes, like that kind of old school isometric Darksiders Genesis-y kind of game. And it looks fun. And we already know they're going to continue to sort it with DLC. Is this on anybody's wish list?
I heard about this game long before we were actually supposed to reveal this during our summer showcase, and the pandemic delayed it, so that didn't happen. But it sounds pretty neat. It's up my alley type of game. I love Darksiders Genesis.
And you're playing as some of the gods, right? Or are you regular people?
I think you're going to go try to kill them all. Yes, and eventually followed in the end all gods. So I'm pretty sure you're the one trying to go kill all the gods.
So Scarlet's trying to be a god.
And it's the exact opposite game.
Yeah. This is when you've got to go and kill them all.
Yeah, because when I looked at a lot of the trailers of it, it almost looked like some of the characters you were using wasn't like human. They were like creatures or something, so I wasn't sure. Or I couldn't tell if you were controlling them or not.
We'll find out coming January 29th to Stadia. So we'll definitely have it soon enough, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any thoughts on Gods Will Fall?
Well,
like I said, exciting news week, you guys.
Just wanted to obviously add as well that they have announced pre-order bonuses for the game. However, you cannot pre-order it currently, at least on Stadia. But they did say that the pre-order bonuses would be coming with like the deluxe, I can't remember what it's called, Valiant Edition or something. Edition of the game. So you can get those pre-order bonuses. You just have to pay a little bit more to get the Valiant Edition. Which is a little disheartening because, I mean, I think we had this question with like Outriders and stuff as well. Being able to pre-order games, we've had that ability to do on Stadia, so I don't know why we don't have it for more games. And the same with demos as well. We've had demos on Stadia, so whether, you know, I mean, obviously the demo for Outriders comes, whether we get pre-order for Gods Will Fall remains to be seen at the moment. From personal experience, my heart tells me no, but hopefully we will.
Well, I will say this one is published well, it's Coke Media, but it's another Deep Silver game, basically, and Crazy Beans. Deep Silver is the group behind Windbound, and Windbound also had pre-order bonuses for their deals for the game. And for them, if you bought the game, the regular game, within 2 weeks of launch, you still got all the bonus stuff. So maybe they'll kind of play the same kind of game with this one.
Yeah, we don't know.
We won't know. We'll find out at some point. In any case, last bit of news of the week. If you are a Destiny 2 player and you also are an Amazon Prime subscriber, you can get another Prime Gaming loot drop from the game. It's all about the new stuff that's come out, the Hard Light. You can go grab a new gun, some skins, cosmetics.
This is about all I do with Destiny 2 now, is just collect stuff from Prime Gaming and then go accept it and then exit.
Turn it off.
I love the idea of Destiny 2. I think it's great. I think it looks great. I can't get into it at this point. I don't have the 8 hours to play it every day. So I just die.
It's a very demanding game.
I think it's a great game. I think it adds a lot to gaming, but I just it's not me.
I mean, I've funny story here. I probably don't know if I should be saying it, but oh well. Like when I played Destiny 1, my partner at the time had zero interest in playing the game, playing any of the raids or anything like that. She hated the fact that I had to spend, like, Tuesday was reset day, you know what I mean, I had to do certain things by certain times, and it just demanded so much of my life, and she absolutely hated it. And then fast forward and until now, apparently she just completed the latest raid in the Deepstone Crypt or something like that.
Well, it definitely helps when you're doing something together, but like, if something's taking that much of your time, you better be getting paid for like playing this or streaming it and playing it. Like, that's so much time.
I want compensation for all the times I got slack for for doing the raids and stuff like that before. it's a fantastic game, and I know myself and Anthony, we did we filled in for Avery with the Undisputable Crucible. We will be doing something, but we'll be doing another one at some point. We've just got to iron out the details, haven't we? And it was just fun to kind of not only join the stream team myself, because I don't really do much of my streaming. The only video presence I have is on this podcast here. I'm not very camera friendly, put it that way. And
join the club.
But it was super fun to do that, and I just want to say we got a comment or something on the website saying, why are we posting about Prime Gaming? We only tend to post the stuff that's relevant for Stadia, because obviously we're a Stadia website, but it's just to get it out there that there's something a little bit extra for those people that have got Amazon Prime, because they may not know about it. It's absolutely free if you've got Amazon Prime. You don't have to pay any extra for it, so why wouldn't you go and get these things? And it's not just Stadia. There's Red Dead Redemption, Gods and Monsters. And
this is the only way we're going to get our Bezos bucks, so you better believe.
So, yeah, that's why we posted.
There you go. You know, and look, you guys, 6 news stories all week long. You got to post something. We're still your number one source of reviews. We gotta base it.
I'm still slightly salty at the fact that we didn't get much news today, because I think everybody, we did what we always do, and we always fall for this, right? And that is, we get some idea in our heads for whatever reason that we're going to get some piece of news, even though no one has said it. There's been very little to none. Like, no implication that we were going to get any news today. I think there was only one slight comment or something that someone's blown up, and when we didn't get an update, we get a bit salty. I may have gone, like, commented on the Stadia Twitter saying, really? Like, but it was more to do with the fact that they posted about an update that happened on the 1st of January, and it's now the 7th, so...
They could have just posted that on the first. Like, just who cares?
I mean, even if they were still like on holiday, if you like, they could have set that up as a scheduled post or something. So,
100%.
Here we are. I think part of being a Stadia fan is having to manage your expectations, not get too disheartened when things don't necessarily go our way. I mean, we've had to deal with obviously the hate that's out there in the gaming universe for Stadia as it is. It's slowly changing for the better, but it's just one of those things. We will plod on as we always do. So,
Before we jump into the hot topic, speaking of Destiny, Scarlett, I think there's a D2 tournament coming up.
Yeah. So my friend Stadia Streamer, some of you may know him from Twitter. He is hosting our quarterly tournament of Destiny 2 on Stadia. That is coming up January 16th. So you guys got 9 days to sign up for this. It's 3v3 tournament.
I've already won it.
There you go. <Me and Anthony. laughs> But it's a 3v3 tournament. So, you know, bring your best friends. Go ahead and go to stadiastreamer.com for any information that you might need about that. There's cash prize, good times, fun gaming. Come check it out.
You know what's cool? I'm one of the people that just randomly pop into everybody's stream. And I seen him streaming the other day, and I popped in, and I seen his thing was talking about the tournament on the 16th.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow, okay. But yeah, I was actually watching him play. Out of a lot of people, I don't know him that much, but he came up on my feed and I jumped in and I was like, oh, cool.
Streamer's a pretty great guy. Definitely recommend just following him in general. He's put in so much time into becoming a better Destiny player as well. Like, since he started this, I met him in November. Or maybe not November, January. I don't know. It was one of those times. But I met him at one of his very initial streams, and I'm sorry, streamer, you were terrible, but you also knew that. And now you're pretty darn good. So come check out the tournament. It's going to be fantastic. We enjoy it.
Listen, Dan, we got to get you, me, and Link. Join the tournament, man.
Sign us up.
Go sign up, guys. Do it. $300 cash prize.
Hey there. Yes, music. you got some money there. Anthony, I know you wanted to give a shout out to all the folks from the Stadia Holiday Bash.
Yeah, this is really cool, guys. So I know Super Saturday, everybody in the Stadia community heard of that. Well, a guy named Spectre, a lot of you may know who he is now. He's always in our chats, but his name, I think, on here is like Oscar G, right? So Spectre, whatever. Anyway, he inboxed me about a month ago, said, hey, I got an idea of doing something similar to Super Saturday. Would you help me out? I said, all right, whatever. So we talked about it, and we came up in 1 week when we finally said, let's do it. We would have a thing that would last for 5 days. It'd start from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Friday being the 1st of January 1st. So just something we coined the Stadia Holiday Bash. And I just want to say, man, it was really cool. I want to say thank you to all the people that was in it. It was a lot of smaller streamers that don't really get to shine. And it was cool. We had 3 streams every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just like Super Saturday. One person go for an hour. Then they tell everybody to follow the next person. So we did 3 a day. And then Friday, we did 8 hours. And then we did a podcast at the end. And whoever was a part of it was able to get on it. And the cool thing was Avery, God, thank you. Avery, I said, Avery, let me use the Stadia source account. So, it'd mean a lot to the guys because they're all smaller streamers. But to say Stadia Source was part of it was cool. So I kicked it off on Friday with Stadia Source. And then Eddie Player One, man, I got to give him credit. He had to talk to his wife and pull some strings, but he actually closed out the show for us. He did the last slot, and that was pretty awesome. Just want to say, you guys remember when Color got to 200 and he screamed? Well, I got to shout this out. This guy named Mamba Man 45, he was a part of it. He had 7 subscribers and went up to 11. And he was just like, guys, this is the most amount of people ever watched one of my videos. And I just wanted to say that I've been gaming since Atari. There's never been a community of gamers like the Stadia community. Maybe because we're small, we're new, so everybody wants to be friends and know everybody. Whereas like on PlayStation or something, you've been gaming forever and you're standoffish. It's just so awesome to see like, people just want to know people. people want to be a part of people. And I just want to specifically, I can't say everybody's name. I think we did over 20 hours of streaming and over 17 people in 5 days. It was really awesome to have this many people come together. I mean, we have people from Stadia Dad. He's from he's out there, right? Dutch or wherever he's from. We just had people from different countries, Canada, United States, and it all worked out. So I just want to say thank you to everybody as a part of it. And guys, we are going to do it again soon. So I just want to say that it was really cool. And thanks to Ray, the loser who's a cyborg, he was a part of it too. And that was really cool, you know? So I just want to say that. Thank you, everybody.
What holiday? You're going to do President's Day? Is that the holiday?
Well, so the thing is we decided to drop the holiday, right? So instead of having to wait, and it's now it's dubbed as the Stadia Bash Community. So the SBC, so it's just Stadia Bash Community. So we're building a community of these guys who was a part of it or whoever want to continue. And we're actually going to tomorrow debut a podcast for the Stadia Bash Community podcast. And we're just going to, little streamers or big streamers, but people who want to be a part of this, we're just going to talk about gaming as we build up to the next bash. It's something going to be pretty cool. And we're going to implement the switch, the passing of the torch, right? So you'll watch half of the show will be on someone's channel, and then the other half, they'll go to that channel. And then next week, it'd be someone else's channel. So the theory is that all the smaller people get a chance to get views and get more subscribers because we would, allow them, if they had the capability, to host it from their channel. So it's going to be cool. It's going to be something different.
Very fun. We've got folks in the Victor in the chat. We are the proud and the few, the Stadians. I don't know what that are. Not to be confused with Sparta. I'm not sure. Stadia Dad saying it was an honor and a privilege to be a part of the holiday bash. Yeah, so very, very cool. And Ray, of course, saying that the cowboy begged him and said, "Stop crying. I'll join."
Oh,
him.
God.
Also, another big thank you to Stadia Event Gaming for the $35 super chat. So he's clearly wants me to get Immortals Fenyx Rising. So he's funding that through the super chat. So I really appreciate, I'm kidding. I don't do that. But we really strongly appreciate that. Well, you guys, first one of the year. You ready, Scarlett?
I'm ready for this.
You ready for this? Should all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Not after what you did on New Year's Eve. It's time for the hot topic.
I like it. It's even better when you say it because it's in the show notes and I get to read it. And it's even better when you say it.
I have no idea what just happened, but fine. So obviously we have finally, hallelujah, made it to 2021. And Stadia has now had under its belt a full calendar year plus a little bit more to find its footing. And very clearly toward the end of 2020, it found its footing. Brand new approaches to marketing, brand new approaches to promotion of itself. All of the promotions that they did with giving away the free controllers, just get it into people's hands. And then kind of an added icing on the cake bash bonus there was Cyberpunk 2077, which ended up being Stadia pretty much the only place that most people can play it and not have a terrible experience, or stand in line for, hit refresh 1,000 times on Walmart.com trying to get their PS5s or their Xbox Series. So Stadia very much ended the year very strong. It's only been 7 days, so I'm not going to say that the lackluster this week on Stadia today is not a good start to the year, because it's fine. It's fine. We'll all move on. But clearly, 2021 is going to mean something to Stadia. Stadia is no longer the freshman entry that has no experience and no users, and they can kind of play fast and loose. Now they're very much landed on the world stage. And they've got, we've got the Xbox and PlayStation ecosystems that they're just going to be getting more of those into people's hands. The supply is going to rise as the year goes on. And some of the bigger games from both, Xbox and PlayStation that are exclusives are going to start landing this year. So Stadia also has to make things land this year. So the question that I'm going to pose to the panel is, how does Stadia keep the momentum going in 2021? And more importantly, what is it that Stadia has to get right in 2021 to continue the success and continue to cement itself on the pedestal, on the podium with the other platforms? As our guest, Nick, I'll let you go first on this and kind of give us your thoughts.
Sure. Well, I think they could sabotage all the big upcoming AAA games and drive everybody to Stadia and make sure it performs the best there. But yeah, you can't rely on a...
God of War game is like looking like it's going to be cross-platform, even though it wasn't supposed to. So that could also just come out really bad on... It probably won't, but, you know.
Yeah, you can't rely on a... You can't rely on a Cyberpunk fiasco to continue building your audience. So I think the boost they're seeing right now is definitely going to help them because, you know, people, it's just getting people to try the platform, obviously, which is what you need. But I think they're going to need to do more promotional stuff to get people involved at the platform. And I think they really need to stop targeting, you know, people that already have PC games, console games. They need to target that casual audience that's playing on their phone and wants to play, you know, the bigger games, but don't want to invest in a $500 console to do it, or, you know, $1,000 PC, whatever you want them to invest in. So, you know, I think they're going to have to work on that. They really got to work on the marketing on that front, because they're not targeting the right people as far as I'm aware. And, you know, Digital Foundry covering, I think the Cyberpunk video they did today or yesterday, I don't know, it feels like it's been a year already. I don't know if that's the first time they've covered Stadia, but that was, you know, that kind of coverage for them is going to continue solidifying that, hey, this is a real thing that people can work with here. And you guys would probably know better than me.
Very early on, Digital Foundry did several videos that were not complimentary to Stadia as a platform. Right. The Stadia community didn't have a lot of support for. But it clearly some of the tides are turning, particularly because we are seeing more organizations. You know, the Cyberpunk itself was an opportunity for some of these organizations to say, you know what, I guess Stadia actually is kind of good. It actually kind of does kind of work. Hedged, you know, Tom Warren of The Verge going, you know, surprisingly it works well. They all kind of hedged, but they're still kind of finally starting to turn around. I'm really surprised. You actually bring up a good point that targeting the mobile gamers is another option or another avenue that we really use more. I'm really surprised we haven't seen like a controller and a claw bundle yet, because the claw is a really great way to play. I have it, or even like sell the Razer Kishi on the Google Store or, you know, any of those kind of things. Scarlett, as you're thinking about like, obviously branding, merchandising, promotion, all those kind of things are right in your wheelhouse. What is that component for Stadia in 2021, when hopefully by the end of the year, folks are starting to go back to stores, we're starting to put hands on demo stations, things of that nature? What component of this for Stadia is it's a branding, it's a marketing thing?
So maybe I just follow all the same people. But honestly, people since day one, and maybe they're keeping this reserved as gift things that they give away, but people want hoodies and t-shirts and mugs and all of that. So they want these things. So I'd love to see them actually, I don't know, have a store for that kind of stuff. What do they need to do? Yeah, in the meantime.
In the meantime, StadiaSource.com/merch.
Yeah, in the meantime. What do they need to do? They need to, okay. So I see Stadia advertisements all the time, and maybe that's just because I look up Stadia stuff all the time. So I get ads on Facebook, on Instagram. I follow like 80 different people who probably have Stadia in their name. So I see it all over Twitter as well.
You've been targeted by Google.
Yeah. I use everything Google. So it'd actually be really interesting to see if they might try to nudge some non-Google users. Try to like specifically target some of those guys, but then you got those people who are like, no, because then Google knows like everything about me, and then they're gonna find where I live and stuff, and it's just kind of like, okay, whatever, we're not gonna bother. I would just love to see them continue to have this peppy attitude that they have with their Twitter posts. I love it. And I'm sure, you know, they have, I don't really read as much on Facebook and Instagram, so like their Twitter has been killing it, so I love that. I would love for them to do something like as actual merchandising for people to buy, not just giving things away. People have been getting kind of annoyed about that too, that a lot of the people who are the huge supporters of Stadia are getting kind of ignored, whereas the big name people who are already solidified in their other platforms are getting the gifts. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that being evened out. I was one of the first people to actually receive anything It's actually an article on Source. But I was like one of the first people to actually get something. And that was just like the coolest feeling ever to be recognized as a fan, like a real fan of Stadia, and just being a positive voice in the community. So I'd love for them to do more of that, but also be kind of public about it, not just being like I know you shouldn't like brag about your own things like that, but having them be like, hey, you know, we also sent this really cool gift to so-and-so because they've been awesome in the Stadia community. Go check them out. So it's, you know, it's still focused on that person as opposed to themselves. I don't know. I just want more of the same in like the up, not like more of the same at this level, but more of the things that they're doing going up. Yeah. So great stuff, not good stuff. I want it to be great stuff because it's not going away. I don't think it's going away anytime soon. I think, you know, unfortunately Google is kind of like how MoviePass was. People are like, oh, this is weird, like MoviePass, what is this thing? And then it actually ended up working a bit, but then they tanked. But Google is not going to tank. I'm not saying that, but they're kind of the first people to do it, like actually do it. And so people are like, oh, we can't actually do this kind of stuff. And that's my people voice, by the way. So I just want more of them. I want them to do more. I'm sorry, that was a long rant, but I don't talk to people much.
we're all just like humans. It's been so long.
Hi.
As the person who plays everything on the team, games are going to be a huge component of this.
Yep.
You know, they're going to keep loading in the library. They're going to keep loading in the games that have been out for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, whatever, because that's just easy for a Capcom or an EA or whoever to do, is just port the game you already wrote the code on. So there are obviously going to be, there's gaps in the library, games and franchises that we don't have yet, particularly on the sports side, particularly on the RPG side. But what does Stadia need to get right in 21 on the games side, particularly as the PlayStation and Xbox ecosystem start dropping those exclusives?
Yep. So it's perfect. When you ask that question, actually, I think his idea was awesome. I never thought about that, but to really target people who play the phone game industry is massive. I used to always play phone games. I always had probably 30 phone games downloaded. I would play Pac-Man on my phone when I play stuff, right? And so that's a great point. And I think they should find a way to start targeting more people that play on phones. Now, I don't know if us gamers would consider them non-gamers, so maybe it'd be weird. But when you ask that question, the first thing came to my mind, I would love to see in 2020, especially because we just had this conversation about Outriders, right? And we talked about it for about 15 minutes. If somehow Stadia can nail getting every single game day and date. Now, I know that has to do with the developers and making a Stadia version, but if somehow, like whether the developers say, okay, we're going to make the game dates maybe, I don't know, 15 days later than originally intended for everybody. I don't know what all intends. I mean, probably longer than that for Stadia. But what I would love is when they're making a game, they already have Stadia in mind and say, okay, day and date, this game will come out for every platform, including Stadia. Because Stadia's already looked at as the redheaded stepchild, right? Oh, haha, I got my game and Stadia doesn't get their version for this, right? But just imagine that was no more a thing, right? Like day and date, every game is also Stadia. I would love to see that. I don't think it's going to happen in 2020, but if it could, that would be a big win. Because that's one of the things that make people say Stadia is a lesser platform, because they don't get games day and date.
You know, since we have somebody here who is involved in the production of some of these game shows and things, you know, Nick with the Summer Game Fest and all of the indie showcases and all those kind of things that hit. Yeah. One of the things that we noticed just over and over again this summer was, you know, no Stadia logos. No Stadia logos anywhere. In the indie showcases, in the big name showcases, there were just never Stadia logos. Even at the Game Awards, of the probably, what, 30 games that they showed, it was Tachia and the ESO expansion and something else. Disco Elysium. So, you know, but turn around, unto the end is a great example. I believe you guys had that in your indie showcase, and there was no Stadia logo, and then it turned out that was a Stadia Makers game. Stadia paid for that game in part to come about.
In our fall showcase, we had Stadia for that one, I believe. We didn't reach out to Stadia in the summer. That's why we didn't have any there. But Stadia for the fall, I directly reached out to. We actually had a small segment where we had, I think, Outcasters from them. I think Unto the End was in there, but they didn't have a Stadia logo because it wasn't officially announced yet. And that's kind of like following what John Justice talked to me about, is like, we're not announcing stuff until it's literally ready to go.
Yeah. It's kind of a mix of the two, both your conversation with him and then your experience as a person producing these shows. Mm-hmm. What part of that is, I get not wanting to do that for features, like when you're about to drop iOS streaming or something like that, but a game, if you know the game's going to land, why not announce it? Why do you think that is? Is that a thing that needs to change?
You kind of saw it when they released Submerged, that new Submerged sequel, right? They're just kind of surprise dropping things. And I think that's kind of their plan, is just to keep hitting people like, hey, this is here right now. Go play it. You know, because you can load it up and go click play. So I think they're trying to use that shock marketing a little bit to, I think, get people really interested. Like, hey, this is brand spanking new. You've never seen this before. Go try it. It's not like, you know, we brought on FIFA 20 from a year ago for you to come play and it's available today. Like, nobody's going to be excited about that. And that's kind of when I talked to him too about, like, you know, I was trying to get out of him just a little bit about, like, hey, like, you guys have first party studios now. Like, what kind of experiences can we expect that you're not going to be able to play on any other thing other than Stadia? And he didn't really give me an answer on that. And so that just tells me, like, yeah, they're not announcing anything until it's day and release ready. And I don't know how Outcasters is doing. I don't think it's doing super great sales wise on that platform. And it's not included in Pro, right?
No, it isn't. It is a Pro.
It isn't Pro. So
far, anything with the Stadia Games and Entertainment logo has been Pro and will probably keep being Pro, kind of like the Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, that was something else he wouldn't confirm when I was talking to him. But I was like, it's kind of obvious because your Outcasters is coming to it, Submerged is coming to it. You got other titles coming.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think, you know, they've got a pretty big AAA lineup coming. Hitman 3 is launching on Stadia right away. And Cyberpunk, when that, you know, kind of fell on its face and was running fine on Stadia, like the marketing for that really dug into that, like, hey, this works really good. And that's the first time I think I've seen excitement about Stadia, like, on Twitter of all platforms. You know, the Stadia subreddit was, of course, up over the moon over it, but on Twitter, that was like the first time I didn't see people just being cynical about it the entire time.
Right.
But I do think in the long term, it's, you know, yeah, you got Outriders coming to it. You got Hitman coming to it. I don't think either of those are going to be, you know, multi-million sales on Stadia. What they really need to do is, and I'm surprised they're not marketing it more, is like, Destiny's free to play on Stadia. All you got to do is load it up and log in. You're done. So they need, you know, Fortnite on there. I don't know if that's ever coming to it, but they need a Fortnite. They need a Warzone. And when you say to somebody, hey, you know, you want Warzone on your PC or console, it's 150 gigabyte download. Well, here's on Stadia. You don't have to ever update it again, and you can save all that hard drive space. Like, that's going to drive somebody like me to it, because I uninstall Warzone all the time because it pisses me off. But but then my friends want to play it, and I'm like, ah, I don't want to sit here and download 86 gigs of a game on my hard drive again.
Yeah, Dan, on the tech level, you know, obviously they've launched just about everything that was promised, and we know state share, the real state share, is coming with Hitman 3. Assistant is pretty much the only thing left that we don't really have from the big announced, you know, from the GDC white screen stage. But on a tech level, what needs to go right for Stadia this year? What can they do more to continue cementing their place?
I mean, this was one of the things that's kind of worrying me a little bit about Stadia going forwards, because I know it's not going to be like new feature after new feature after new feature. Eventually, it's going to be a plateau where the new features that Stadia can offer are few and far between. We've had most of the ones that we said we were going to have, which they've come later than what a lot of us would have liked. So there's always been that hype for them whilst we've not got them. But once people have used them a little bit and, you know, I mean, they've decided whether it works for them or whether it's something that they're interested in, I think the hype level goes down. So they need to bring that back with some new tech features. What those features are, I have no idea. I'm sure there's a lot smarter people than I working on those right now. I just think we need something to look forward to in the form of new tech, something that's not ever been done. But I also, before we move on as well, I also want to touch on some of the topics that Nick and Anthony have also covered as well. And that is, when it comes to the cyberpunk thing, we have tended to latch onto that in order to kind of say, hey, Stadia works, Stadia's good, blah, blah, blah. But
that's,
I think
that's the door for Rose that she climbed onto after the in the icy cold water of the Titanic. Like, not that Stadia is the Titanic. Stadia Source podcast said Stadia was the Titanic. But like, we've been floating in a chilly sea forever, and finally we find a little bit of relief in the form of that. Maybe it's the lifeboat is the better analogy.
But we can't stay in that lifeboat. We can't stay on that door. Eventually, you know what I mean, we're going to have to try and find other ways to sell it, because, I mean, obviously Cyberpunk has had problems, not just because of how it runs, but in terms of like the bugs and the glitches and stuff like that, which Stadia experiences too. We can't pretend that we're above that. But I think eventually, I mean, I played Cyberpunk for all of about 4 hours, and I feel like I'm cheating on the game because I really want to play more of it. But I just haven't, because I've been playing Destiny. I will get around to it at some point, but I think it's not going to wash eventually if you know what I mean, this time next year we're still saying, hey, but Cyberpunk runs great on Stadia. We need something more than that.
I think with Stadia, and the reason Cyberpunk is like that big talking point is because, like, when you think of Stadia before Cyberpunk, there's not really a marquee title for the platform, right? I can't think of anything that, like, I need to get Stadia to play that. And with Cyberpunk, you know, if you didn't have a computer that could run it, or you had an Xbox One or a PS4, and you really had to play Stadia, or I mean, a Cyberpunk day one, Stadia is actually a viable option at that point. So I think, yeah, like, and when people can go back and say, like, hey, that was a viable way to play that game, that's going to get them to try other games. Yeah.
But I think they also need to, I mean, Avery touched on this earlier about them bringing games that are quite old to Stadia because it's easier for them to do. That, I think, was a direct reaction to people saying, well, there's no games on Stadia, because now nobody can say there's no games on Stadia.
Right.
What the next one we need to tackle is to get the right games on Stadia. And like you said, you can't think of a flagship title for Stadia. I mean, we haven't got a mascot, for example. So I think what they need to do is, like you said, get the Fortnites, get the Call of Duties. And also that kind of ties into what you said about mobile gamers as well. Because I think when you look at the youth of today, I mean, my nephew can sit and play Fortnite on a screen that's that big. And he doesn't care that he's not playing it on a huge 4K TV. And games like Call of Duty as well. Like if they came to not just Stadia, like on your big screen, but on your mobile phone as well. I mean, there is a Call of Duty for the mobile phone, so there's a market there for people to play it. And I just think, you know what I mean, give them a way to play this instantly without having to download it. That's the thing they need to go for going forward, not just to fill the category of games, but to get the right games as well.
Yeah, and that's been kind of my thing with like Stadia Pro, and especially as somebody that games regularly and I cover the mainstream press, like, it's not that exciting to me when they announce the games that just came to it, right? It's all these old titles that are old news. So they want the press to cover it. Like, you look at Games Pass, yeah, you get a couple older titles on there, but they always have something brand new coming with a Games Pass announcement, and Stadia doesn't have that yet. That's just going to take time to develop, and I think they're making the right decisions, and hey, let's keep our mouth shut. let's just keep working on it, and people will, you know, word of mouth bring other people in, and then you get lucky with the Cyberpunk thing, and then you have that big marketing push, and now is the time for them to speak up. They have the attention because Cyberpunk ran well on the platform, so now is the time to get out there and be like, hey, look at all this cool stuff we're coming. So I do hope, like, you know, they, if they have first party stuff in the works and it's getting close, now's probably the time to start talking about it, especially before you hit the summer and all the big players are going again.
Because one of the things I've noticed when I've tried to kind of like convince friends or family to buy into Stadia, I'm constantly asked, like, is Call of Duty on it? Or, you know what I mean, is Fortnite on it? And it kind of like, it guts me a little bit to say no.
Yes.
And I don't have an answer as to whether it's ever going to be there. And it's just one of those things. I know that person would probably like ditch. I mean, there's my dad, for example. He only plays Destiny, and he's ditched his PlayStation and his Xbox to play Stadia. So I'm not saying I want anybody to ditch PlayStation, Xbox, because I want everybody to have the games consoles and play wherever they want to play. But I know there's a lot of people that don't want to buy into the new generation of consoles. Mm. And if they had their preferred game of choices on Stadia, then they might convert as well. It's just one of those things I wish I could say. And I did have another point to make, but it's just left my head and it'll come back to me at some point. But
do we think that Stadia is going to make the same "we'll just surprise you" choice when it comes to their first party titles? And if they do, is that a good idea? I mean, literally the God of War teaser was just slowly some runes showed up in a circle on a screen, and now everybody knows God of War is coming. It's brand new. It's probably months and months and months and months away, but we at least had something. You can kind of get on the bad side of that if you're like Cyberpunk, where you announce it, you know, 3 presidents ago, and then suddenly it doesn't show up. But if Stadia literally just goes, oh, by the way, we have a 90-hour AAA title that just launched in the store today, $60 for Stadia Pro, like, is that going to do them any favors?
I think it's going to depend on who's developing it, and they don't really have any first-party studio that's well-known yet. You know, Typhoon is the only studio I know of there. Then they did Journey to the Savage Planet, but that's not enough either. So their marketing is going to have to be different than anything else, because if, you know, can you really imagine them with a big AAA title going to E3 and having a spot in some conference, right? It's just not going to happen unless it's like, you know, EA or Sony or, you know, or EA or Ubisoft or whatever saying, hey, we made a Stadia exclusive title.
They get the next Street Fighter, and it's just on Stadia.
Only thing I will say about that is I think what we also, I don't want to give Cloud too much credit, but I do, right? So we know that the cloud could do things that the other consoles can. It might be 3 years from now, but this conversation we're having now, I guarantee when they make the Stadia only game, first party AAA Stadia only game, right? Not made by any other company. It don't need to be EA, don't need to be Activision, but it's gonna be from Stadia, right? But it's gonna be their God of War Stadia game. And what's gonna make it their God of War Stadia game, if the cloud is infinite, as they say, it's just going to do something that you're going to be like, I never seen this before, and I know I cannot see it somewhere else. Now, when that happens, I don't necessarily know it need to be advertised ahead of time, because people probably won't believe it anyway. It's going to have to be seen. Like, how are you even going to explain it? Like, this game does this, and they're going to be like, yeah, whatever, it's on Stadia, right? But
Stadia is the only platform that could achieve what Peter Molyneux wanted Fable to be. Like, it's the only platform that could do that. Correct. But if they came out and said, we have a new RPG from Square Enix, it's brand new, or BioWare, and it's brand new IP, it's going to be amazing and crazy, and it's going to do insane things that the cloud never did, and it sort of kind of landed but didn't, that would just be real bad.
I would say look back at how Crackdown 3 went before touting the cloud too much.
That's true.
So
I Crackdown 3, but I just played it on Game Pass.
The whole thing about that game was a destroy the whole world mechanic, and that never panned out to anything, and the multiplayer died in a week. I agree. If you're gonna do something with Stadia and it's gonna be big and something that nobody's played before, it's gonna have to be sold on word of mouth. Because one, you just don't have the credibility from anything on Stadia yet to say, like, hey, this is an amazing experience. Well, yeah, you're going to get all the cynical people saying, no, it's not, without even trying it.
Yeah.
But that's more why I brought up, you know, Activision or Ubisoft or something like that making a title, because at least you have that publisher backing, and it's like, oh, that's a title from EA. I know who that is.
Right.
And, if flipping Xbox hadn't bought Bethesda, and suddenly it rolled out that like Elder Scrolls 6 was going to be a Stadia powered game, that would have just been it. That would have been it.
No.
Stadia in every household, you know. But we don't even have Skyrim yet, and that's on toasters.
I think if that had happened, you would have had people at Google's doors. Yeah. And not happy people.
Dan, did you have any final thoughts on this one?
Yeah, so I kind of had that brainwave I was thinking of earlier that lost me. When it comes to Stadia features that I think they need to start working more on and then absolutely hammer home when they do land it, is couch co-op. Because obviously what we've seen as consoles get more powerful and more powerful is that they pump all of this, you know what I mean, all of the console's capabilities into making the single player game look absolutely amazing. Then when it comes to being able to play split screen, which people still do, and obviously as TVs get bigger, you've almost got a TV screen. What, half of your screen is probably what we were playing when we were kids, you know what I mean? Yep. So, but obviously they can't devote that much power to having two or even four instances of that game on the screen at any one time. And one of the big things that Stadia obviously announced when they announced Stadia in the first place was the ability to have multiple instances of Stadia on the screen at any one time. And because they're all coming from a separate source, they've all got just as much processing power as what, you know what I mean, one version of Stadia has. So you're only limited by screen space, not by the power of the console. So
you'd be limited by, wouldn't you be limited by bandwidth though? Because you have to have two people playing at the same time.
Well, no, because the idea being is that it's not taking any more of your bandwidth up than streaming, you know what I mean, a screen that's that big. Obviously, there's more going on the screen, so it might take.
Yeah.
Well,
if they stitch it together for you and send just the stitch version to you as 4K, the upload on this is nothing. Like the upload of the signals and stuff doesn't take any bandwidth at all. So it shouldn't, in theory, take up any more bandwidth than a regular 4K stream if Stadia did all the stitching themselves.
The only but to that is, like, for example, take your background now, Avery. The blue and the pink hasn't updated since we began streaming. So the streaming software is probably looking at those streams and saying, I don't have to do much to that. You know what I mean? I don't have to send that new information across every single time. Whereas if you've got more going on the screen at any one time, that is not going to be true. But I don't think it's going to be that much of a difference. It's not going to, you know what I mean, break anything. You're not going to see a massive increase in your download quota, but I just think that's something they need to hammer home, because especially during coronavirus at the moment, and the fact that obviously you can't really, people, you know what I mean, they have siblings at home that they might want to play with, or someone said it, Shadow Grim here now, for example, Borderlands 3 in every single console has split screen up to four people, but for Stadia it doesn't, and Stadia is probably one of the most potentially promising places that you could have split screen, because they could effectively run all four games irrespective of each other. So
let me ask you this though, would that that would have to be on the developer side, not Stadia, right? So that's the only issue, is like, I don't feel like Stadia is popular enough and making enough money for developers to go out their way to do all this extra stuff for Stadia.
You know,
Stadia,
I think honestly,
I don't think it would necessarily be that. I don't know that the developer has to support multiplayer. Yeah. Everything else could be done by Stadia. If Stadia sends you four screens, it's like the grid that we have right now, and each one of them has their own pairing code for the website. So you're hitting up, down, XB, and you're hitting whatever else. At that point, you've just got four pseudo screens in your thing, and as long as there's a multiplayer lobby or whatever else, you could sort of kind of make it work.
Yeah, so you could have it supported by the game itself, or if the game doesn't want to support it, but Stadia, obviously they'd have to work out licensing and all.
Right.
I'm sure there's a lot more under the hood they'd need to sort before they could do this, but they could just use Stadia natively to give you that split screen, and then you would just join, you know, I mean, the multiplayer lobby, like Avery was saying. So I think there's two ways around it, and I think they really need to start working on this. This could be something that's one of these new features, I think, they're going to be, well, it's not new, but something, one of those features they need to really hammer home during 2021, or at least the future. So,
well, definitely there's a lot that Stadia can do, but the good thing is Google's got a lot of money, like a lot of money, you guys. So it's highly likely that as Google continues to throw money at this, they're throwing millions of dollars to make sure certain ports like Resident Evil make it onto the console. So clearly they're investing here. And I think that we're going to see more and more as the year goes on. I bet the kicker is there are probably some tricks up their sleeves that we just don't know about yet. We can hope there's some tricks up their sleeves that we just don't know about yet. And as we know from Nick's interview, we're not gonna know about them until they roll up the sleeves and let out the magic. So hopefully we will see some amazing things that hit in 21, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I think this is obviously, many people said this thing. MM2K is one of the ones that say this, that, or it might be Rev that says, we are playing the worst version of Stadia we will ever play today, because it will only be better tomorrow and better the day after and better the day after. I'm excited. We'll see what happens. Well, Nick, thank you so much for being a part of the conversation today. We really enjoyed having you on. If people want to find you on the interwebs, where can they go?
You can follow me on Twitter at Nick J. Cal. I'm mostly posting articles and apparently getting in fights with people every now and again. But you can also follow our work on The Escapist, escapistmagazine.com. You can follow me on The Escapist Show, where I talk with Jack every week. And sometimes we talk about Stadia when he's playing on that or I'm playing on it.
There you go. Just tweet out, I don't get what's so special about Stadia, and watch the flood from all of the people that we love.
I've had enough of the Stadia talk for a while after my interview, because a couple people just continually harassing me over asking about the digital code thing.
don't do that, people. Don't do that. Nick's a good guy. We like him. We wouldn't have invited him on.
It was funny because all I was asking about was because I've been recently buying 4K Ultra HD movies, and every time you buy one of those movies, you get a digital code. And so my idea was, oh, what if like I bought a copy of the Xbox game physically, and Stadia did a promotion with them to give me a digital code, but. You know, whatever.
Okay. Hey, you know what? You got to throw everything at the wall and see what sticks.
That's exactly what Stadia needs to do. So what am I getting yelled at for?
We appreciate you being on the show tonight. Don't forget, you can check out the Stream Team Dream Team on the Source Feed Live, playing here all week long, including Charm City's Community Playground, which is finally back, you guys. It'll be back this Sunday. Scarlet's Ready Gamer 1, All Purpose Champs, Power Up Plus, Fkendo's Dad Time Gaming, and Bruise of Bruises, Dom's Stadia Domination, Blue Bob's The Break Even Point, and The Hotspot with EJMix. And coming, I'm finally announcing the release date, you guys, January 31st. You're going to have to wait the rest of the month for the Stadia Game Show finally debuting this month. I swear, I'm almost done, but it's going to take me a little while longer. So we'll get that out there. We want to thank you. If you were here hanging out with us live, I mean, not just the people who do Super Chats, though we very clearly very much appreciate you. But if you were hanging out with us live, we really, really do thoroughly appreciate each and every one of you. I am stalling as I never have this page up, even though I know I'm going to pull it up in every single episode. You would think I would be smarter than that. But we also really appreciate all of our supporters, such as those who joined us here on YouTube in the assorted tiers, as well as the folks that had previously subscribed to us on Patreon, and the folks. Hey, we had a third person buy us a coffee. Wow. It's taken off, you guys. It's taken off. So we appreciate all of you that have supported us and the mission of Stadia Source to be your number one source for Stadia news and reviews. Dan, I hope you had a great holiday and a happy new year. Thanks for being on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me on my own show.
Anthony, good to have you as always.
It's good to see you back, Avery.
And we appreciate Scarlett. She had to drop off, but we definitely appreciate her. That just leads me to say, if you're listening to the podcast, you can join us most Thursday evenings right here on YouTube. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you can download our podcast on Spotify, Pocket Casts, and everywhere you get podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Stadiasource, like us on Facebook, send a thank you card to Stacey Abrams, and join our Discord at stadiasource.com/discord. You can even wear Stadiasource merch when you're out and about by going to stadiasource.com/merch. The music at the top of the show is Summer in the Neighborhood by Bad Snacks. Check out her music at badsnacks.bandcamp.com. Hosting for stadiasource.com generously provided by Rock. You can find out more about the technical expertise of Rock at rokk.co.uk. You guys pointed out that I always spell that and it's weird, so I said .co.uk. If you haven't already, down below is the thumbs up button that lets us know you liked what you saw. It's a sentences that lets us know it's in front of me. It's a script. I'm reading it. That lets us know you like the show, and right next to it is the subscribe button that lets you know every time we post a new video. You can also become a member just like the Nerf Report did today by clicking the join button down below with great perks at every level of your budget. Thank you for joining us for the Stadiasource Roundtable Podcast from Stadiasource, your number one source for Stadia news and reviews. My name is Avery. We hope you have a good one and happy new year, everybody. Thank you.